I was at school at the University of Lynchburg in my sophomore year. All of a sudden, had just started getting super weak. Woke up one morning, side was hurting, went to the school doctor, and recommended I go to the ER. Had some tests done that afternoon, was told that night that it was most likely some form of leukemia, and next day was told for sure that it was acute lymphoblastic leukemia, B-cell, ALL for short. Started treatment a few days later. Not quite a year cancer-free, but 1 year since transplant. When I do go to the gym and work out before being sick, I could leg press over 1,000 pounds. Now, not even being able to do around 300, it upsets me very much. But I think it's also the most motivating thing that I can do. That is where I want to get back to. After you go through something, however hard it is, the best thing you can do is to get back out there. Don't put yourself down with what it was and live your life how you lived it before. The results will come.
Everyone, Ashley Hatch here with another episode of Ditto. We are really excited about today. Not only do we have our youngest guest on the show, but Brendan Learn and I have a cool relationship because his sister Riley is one of our athletic trainers at the Washington Spirit. So Brendan, welcome. We're super happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. We usually like to start off the show just by asking each other how we've been because it's really important to check in
with our friends. Because who knows, right? Some days are crappy and some days are
great. Yeah, so let's start with you, Matt. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. In fact, Ashley and Brendan, you might find this interesting. My wife and I, we just got done watching, not today, but last night, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders documentary. Have you guys seen that yet?
I'm in the middle of it.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. They're not just very pretty human beings, but oh my gosh, they're athletic and they have to mentally and emotionally, you know, invest in their craft. Seriously, my respect for these women, these Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, has gone up exponentially after watching this documentary. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there. Ask if you've seen it. And for listeners that haven't seen it, I highly suggest you go watch it for reals. Are you enjoying it, Ashley?
Yeah, I actually watched it before it was on Netflix. They had a series on Prime. And so I'm an OG, but yeah, I'm not through it, but I'm really enjoying it. But yeah, it's good. Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I went to the gym this morning and got a good shoulder workout in and have been preparing for this.
Nice. Awesome. Cool.
Well, so we're Brendan, excited. Is that like delts and traps or are you just the whole shoulder? Well, what are you doing when you're doing shoulders? I'm curious.
I did some lateral raises, some shoulder press, cable and dumbbell and some shrugs.
Nice. Yeah, so all-encompassing.
Nice. Yeah, so you're cool. Probably nice and sore already right now.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing, both of you. Brendan, we're really excited to have you on today because I think you have a really unique lived experience and you've gone through something that's really, really hard that I feel like a lot of our listeners can either relate to or have family members that can relate to or just learn a lot of life lessons from you, especially as a 20-year-old. But for our listeners who don't know, because we obviously know that's why we invited you into this podcast, but you are a recent 1 year for cancer-free survivor. Is that correct?
Not quite a year cancer-free, but 1 year since transplant, but yes, cancer-free.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow. Congrats. I guess just to start off, we'd love to kind of hear a little bit about your story. I know you shared with us a nice detailed timeline of when you got diagnosed and everything that you went through to finally being cancer-free, but could you maybe just go through, well, first you'll share what kind of cancer that you conquered. But can you just kind of go through the initial process of how you found out that you were diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, so I was at school at the University of Lynchburg in my sophomore year. I had been working out a whole bunch. It was probably the strongest it'd ever been. And then all of a sudden had just started getting super weak, having a hard time carrying dumbbells to the bench, getting out of bed for class. And then one day I was in the cadaver lab and had walked out and passed out and hit my head against the wall and floor and gotten a concussion, which I thought was just from being hot. And then woke up one morning, side was hurting, went to the school doctor. She said my liver or spleen was enlarged, and recommended I go to the ER. So went to the ER, had some tests done that afternoon, and was told that night that it was most likely some form of leukemia, and next day was told for sure that it was.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's really, I mean, I think, especially coming from the perspective, you're young, 20 years old, you said you're the strongest that you've ever felt, and then you all of a sudden started feeling these symptoms. What was going through your mind as you were kind of going through all these tests and then seeing doctors and hearing like one thing and then obviously hearing that you had leukemia? Like, what was kind of your thought process during all this?
Well, so before all that, I had come home and went to our family doctor, and he thought that it was maybe mono. So even just having that in my head that, oh, I have mono, maybe just from drinking or eating after someone, you know, to going to the hospital and, you know, thinking it's just that, but losing 30 pounds before that in just 2 weeks. And then, I mean, yeah, just thinking you have mono and finding out it's cancer is a very, very hard thing to accept.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
What were those initial conversations like, Brendan, with, I don't know, parents or loved ones when that news came? What was that like?
So I had met my mom and sister at UVA Hospital, because it's just about an hour away from Lynchburg. And I had been there by myself for a while because they were still driving. So I talked to a few doctors that had come in before they got there, but then I had gone in to get an ultrasound done to where my stomach was hurting, just see what it was. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, just initially when you were told the L word, that this is leukemia, what was the reaction? I mean, what was going on with conversations with your parents, with loved ones, and what was that initial reaction like?
Oh, yeah. So when I had gone in for the ultrasound, I saw on their computer screen that it said possible leukemia before I had even heard anything about that.
You saw that on the screen?
Yeah. Wow. So,
oh my gosh.
So to see that and then have to lay there and, you know, have an ultrasound done, go back to the room, and my mom just say, how was it? You know, and I said, well, it might be leukemia.
Oh my gosh.
That was definitely hard to even really say out loud and think. And I'm sure that was hard for my mom and sister to hear and know that, because I mean, that's just hard to hear from anyone.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, totally. Wow. That's crazy. So this timeline that you shared with us, it says October 18th, you started course one of treatment. So once you found out that you were diagnosed with leukemia, you told your family, I'm guessing that you had to sit down with a doctor and you got kind of, I don't know how it goes, like your options or like, this is how treatment works. Like, what did that process look like? And how were you able to kind of, like you said, saying it out loud, I feel like is first and foremost, probably the hardest thing to accept. I think for all of us, even if we haven't experienced something as traumatic as cancer or being diagnosed with leukemia, sometimes the things that we're struggling with, it's hard enough just to say it out loud. So I feel like that's a huge step for you to be able to say it out loud. What did that look like when you sat down with a doctor and he or she gave you kind of the process and the treatment plan?
So after the first night we had stayed there, he came in the next day and sat down with us and told us what kind it was, and it was acute lymphoblastic leukemia, B-cell ALL for short. And there wasn't really any other options other than what he had. He said, this is the course. This is what it's going to be. You know, I guess that would have been October 15th and started treatment a few days later.
Wow.
Man, I can't imagine. You know, Brendan, these last 10 minutes we've been speaking, I'm trying, well, not even these last 10 minutes, in preparation, honestly, for this conversation, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And I mean, there's a lot of thoughts that are going through my mind right now in terms of how can I even try to do that and imagine what this would feel like? You know, we all as human beings have our hurdles. We all have our challenges. Some are extremely hard, and in your case, extremely hard, and some aren't so hard, and some are anywhere in between, and it's on a daily, monthly, yearly basis. I mean, you know, right? We're all human beings. For me, you know, it's overcoming, and not overcoming is not the right word. It's getting through, it's learning, it's finding strength either in the moment or after the moment, right, to continue to move on and continue to learn and do this life experience thing. For you, what was that strength? You know, during and now, because I mean, you're still kind of in it, right? I mean, it's not 1,000% guarantee that this is never going to occur again, which as hard as that might sound, you know, especially internally from a psychological and emotional standpoint, what helped you and what is helping you with that strength?
I would say that, just the biggest source of strength externally was my parents, from October 14th, really, when my mom came down to the hospital and stayed and sat with me, all the way to August 21st, when I got to come back home to Winchester from Baltimore. Just seeing my parents have to live apart for 11 months and always one of them stay with me, I really think that my biggest motivation of strength was to make sure it was easiest on them. And I mean, just knowing that each and every day they had to either hear or see me at my absolute lowest, I gave it everything I had to make sure I was upbeat and happy and joking and just positive, so it was that much easier on them.
Yeah. And did you feel that from them? I mean, because you probably had some really low days. Did you feel that reciprocated either in a negative or positive light? Like, I need to be stronger for them because I can see this is out of this world hard for my mother or my father. I mean, what did you have any of those days?
It wasn't really that I saw that from them. I think they did their best to hide it, but
got it.
For me, I think it was really just knowing that as hard as it was for me, having it be one of their kids, it was so much, much harder for them.
Yeah. Wow. That's really special. And I feel like that, that just, I don't know, is a testament to how great of a person you are. Cause I feel like you're going through something that's very difficult. And I feel like it could be very easy for someone in your position and acceptable to be all about me. Like, why did this happen to me internally? Like, this is really, really hard. But the fact that you're thinking about your family and thinking about how hard it is for them, I think just shows how unselfish of a person you are in a moment in your life that's probably the most difficult, and you can be selfish. But yeah, I think that's really cool. And from, I don't know, from a very far third party outsider perspective, supporting from afar, me and my teammates obviously heard about your diagnosis through Riley, and being seeing how your family rallied around you and just hearing the updates from her and just how much she loves you and how much she supported you and really wanted you to be able to get through this. And like, she saw how hard it was for you. And I think it's just really cool to see how your family like really rallied around you. And it's really cool to hear you share about your parents, and I'm sure it brought you guys really, really close together. But I'm just, yeah, I'm in awe because I think that's really cool. So thanks for sharing that.
Brandon, can you walk me through those? You said 11 months is when you were roughly kind of in and out of this and in the hospital, and
yeah,
about a year, right? Day to day. What did that look like? I mean, paint us a picture on what you went through. For obviously, if you're comfortable not sharing some things, you don't have to, but whatever you're, you know, comfortable sharing, what did that look like on a day to day for you for those 11 months?
Well, I started off at UVA, and a lot of the time there was getting treatment and getting up and going for walks down the hall and back, because at that point I was, kind of enclosed on a floor. It was about half of that floor. So it was just walking up and down that hallway and seeing how many laps I could do. I mean, I remember, you know, being excited about being able to walk down and back 7 times.
Wow.
And then after all the radiation chemo at Hopkins, lot of laying in bed, not feeling well, a lot of throwing up. And then after the two strokes, it was a lot of rehab of learning how to walk again.
You had occupational
therapy. Yeah, I had 2 strokes in roughly 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was after your bone marrow transplant, correct?
That was after the transplant, yeah.
Yeah.
Your body just couldn't handle all of the adversity, all of the... What happened? I didn't know this.
I think a lot of it was high blood pressure, and like I'd said, just throwing up a whole bunch. That eventually I just had a brain bleed, and that was on my brain stem. Both of them were. So I got very, very lucky to just have the, you know, effects that I did. And luckily I've gotten everything back and back to normal, but definitely a hard thing to do of learning how to walk again and not being able to see straight or feel the left side of your body for weeks. And
jeez.
Yeah.
Brandon, what did you do throughout this process that helped you, even if it was really, really small? I mean, I see your PS5 headphones on your head right now. Were you doing PlayStation? Were you reading? Were you meditating, praying? I mean, what was some of the things that you were doing to just for 5 minutes help you stay sane for a little bit, I guess?
Couldn't really play PS5. The TV was too far away for me to see clearly. But I'd say a lot of watching TV with one eye. I don't read, so wasn't doing that. Wasn't going to start doing that.
You're not doing homework.
No homework. But a lot of games with my parents. A lot of Farkle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's really cool. I want to take it back. So you, before your 2 strokes, you had to get a bone marrow transplant, and excuse me for my lack of knowledge in this area, but at what point were you told, is a bone marrow transplant like a usual step of this process, or is that something that's unique to your case?
I wouldn't say it's really unique. I think it might be a little uncommon, but after the 2 stages of chemo didn't work at UVA, I was then put on in immunotherapy, which was basically me wearing a fanny pack of constantly infusing chemo. And that didn't work either. My mom got a call one night. We were on the floor playing a game, and the doctor said that I still had cancer in me, and it was above the percent that they wanted it to be. So that's when bone marrow transplant was the next option.
Wow. Okay, so before we get to the bone marrow transplant, so sorry, I have so many questions and I'm trying to figure out the proper order to ask them. But so it sounds like you went through chemo, this other process, and you found out each time you still have cancer. Mm-hmm. How were you able to hear that, accept it, and then continue to move on and keep fighting? Like, I'm sure that couldn't be easy news to accept or to hear every single time. How did you deal with that bad news every time?
Not very well, I'll be honest.
That's fair.
I never wanted to hear that I still had any. I mean, the highest it got to was 90%, 97% of my white blood cells were cancerous. Wow. And that had just happened in a matter of probably 1-2 months. But yeah, I mean, transplant was the last option, and unfortunately it had gotten to that point, and it was either transplant or do nothing, and it will come back and it will kill me this time. So wow. Transplant was the better option.
Yeah, for real. So you figured out, okay, transplant, next best option. How, I know the story because I know Riley, but what does that process look like? How long did you have to wait till you found someone that could help you with that transplant?
So after they had, you know, taken my bone marrow and looked at it and looked through the database of bone marrow donors, there was nobody else in the world that was a match. Luckily enough, my sister Riley was a half match, and that was the best there was. And wow. I am so, so grateful that we have a good relationship and she was willing to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not only was there no one else in the whole world, but Riley was a half match, and that was your best opportunity and best chance. So you went through it and went for it and got the transplant, which I'm sure wasn't easy, but did it work?
It did work, yes. as of right now, my bone marrow is still 100% Riley.
Wow.
And for as long as I live, whenever I get blood drawn, it will say that I am a girl.
Interesting. That is such an interesting fact. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Wow.
You were hoping to be that close to your sister, probably.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah. Hey Brendan, again, lots of questions going through my mind similar to Ashley right now, because you know, I've had family members and some friends that have gone through some of these things, not exactly what you've gone through, but similar situations with cancer and getting through it. And funnily enough, not the right word, ironically enough, I was listening to a podcast this morning. Smartless is the podcast. I don't know if you've heard of Smartless. It's with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett. Who's the third one, Ashley?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I've only listened on to Will one of their Grace. Episodes.
Anyways, they bring on guests, and today their guest, or at least when I listened to it, was Jeremy Renner, the actor, so the Avengers guy. I think Hawkeye,
yeah.
Right? Isn't that his name on Avengers?
Yeah.
And they recounted his story of being run over recently by a snowmobile, and not just a regular snowmobile, like a huge truck snowmobile, like 1,400 pounds or something, or more. No, it was like 18,000 pounds, 1,400. Anyways, he broke over like 30 bones, and jeez. He said at one point his eyeball was hanging out of its socket, and he was in the hospital for months recovering. And he recounted this story, right, and trying to recover and go through all of this. And similar to other stories that I've heard, he gained a new perspective on life. That in his mind was, quote unquote, the biggest gift that he was given as a result of going through something really hard. And as a result, he's not the same person because of this horrible event. So similarly, I want to ask you, Brendan, what perspective on life have you gained as a result of going through this and continuing to go through this today?
Well, as cliche as this will sound, having, you know, the cancer and the transplant and everything else that happened, really made me realize how valuable life is and to appreciate the little things.
Doesn't sound cliche.
I remember telling my psychologist in the hospital that I could not wait to get back home and drive with my arm out the window and feel the breeze. I mean, just little things like that that you really take for granted. But I mean, after going through everything, I've really realized how short life is and how much I take for granted, and just how much everything means and how much more it means now.
The little things, putting your arm out the window and feeling the breeze.
I love that. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Not the new Tesla that's coming out in 2025. It's just simply feeling a breeze on your arm. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. I have a question, Matt, unless you
keep going.
Okay.
You go. Yeah.
We can see behind you the spirit shirt that says "Be Strong," which is really cool. It's awesome to see that. So as you're going through this process, "Be Strong" kind of became your mantra or your family's mantra. Can you share how that came to be and where that came from? And was that something that's always been a part of your life because your name's Brendan and you're strong, you like to be in the gym? Or was that something that kind of came from this experience and that you and your family were kind of able to like rally around and became like your mantra for this?
I can't remember who exactly started it. I want to say it was my dad. Whoever said it for the first time had said it and it had stuck. And since that point, bracelets were made, t-shirts were made. And I think a lot of it actually came from, I forget who sings it, but, the fight song.
Yeah.
And in it, it says, "I will be strong."
Yeah.
So I think I can't tell you how many times I was laying in the hospital bed and would hear that coming from my dad's phone. but that definitely means a lot now. Just every sense of it, be strong, no matter what you're doing. You know, give it your all. And I think that has also helped a lot. Even just going out in public and seeing people I know wearing the shirt still. My friend, it's one of the shirts he wears to the gym whenever he goes. Whenever it's clean, he'll wear it and send a picture of him in it. And that definitely also helped keep a strong, positive state of mind in the hospital, was just seeing how many people had wanted the bracelets and shirts and wanted to support from however far away they were.
Yeah, totally. That's really cool. I almost bothered Riley to give me a shirt so I could wear it on the podcast. I'm so mad I didn't, but I still want to get a shirt because cool. I think it's a really cool shirt, and I think it's such a great line, especially for everything that you've gone through and how strong you and I feel like others around you were during this time. I feel like everyone had to be strong, so that's really cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Ashley and I, Brendan, we talk about affirmations and power words and cue words and phrases all the time in sports psychology. For me, this is very pertinent, right? Your performance was surviving and getting through something really, really hard. And you use this affirmation. It was much more than just a phrase. It was embodied spiritually, physically, mentally, etc. At least from my perspective, to help you get through something really, really hard. How are you continuing to, quote unquote, be strong, Brendan? What is life, you know, now? What are you doing now? What are you pursuing? And maybe how has that shifted as a result of this experience?
Well, so when I was, before the transplant, every transplant patient is assigned a therapist, and I was assigned one, and before I had even gone to meet her for the first time, I kept asking my mom, you know, why do I have to meet with a psychologist? Do I have to keep seeing her, you know, once I'm in the hospital inpatient? But meeting her and having her in the picture the whole time I was at Hopkins, and even still now, I think she is the best thing that has come out of me having cancer. Mm-hmm. She continues to still meet with me and make me mentally strong and just help me kind of process what I'm feeling. Some days are harder than others. I'll get, you know, flashbacks of being in a really, really bad spot. And she helps with that. So a lot of it is just, a lot of it is her still. And another big part is outlooks determine outcomes. I can't remember where I had seen that or heard it, but had found it and lived by that for a long time in the hospital, and still now, just telling myself every day that being positive, staying mentally, physically strong, it will have a positive outcome in the end.
Wow. Beautiful. Outlook determines outcome, or outlooks determine outcomes. I'm going to use that, Brendan.
We're going to steal. It. Yeah, we're going to steal that from you. Ooh, that's awesome. That's really cool. Wow. I have a question about, as you're going through this process, you shared with us in your timeline that you went to, what was it, the Allison House? Alyssa House. You went to the Alyssa House, and then, so you had to like move from one place to another place, and then Baltimore. So you're moving all over the place, and you're interacting with different nurses, and I'm sure different doctors, mm-hmm. and you got to meet, you had created a great relationship with the psychologist. Were you able to gain strength from the nurses and the doctors around you? How were your interactions with them as you're going through some of the hardest moments in your life?
The first doctor that I had met was the one at UVA. I loved him so much. He was such a good doctor, and I felt like he really understood what I was going through. But from what I was going through, I hated him for making me feel how I felt with all of the chemo.
Yeah.
But he was just a great doctor. He gave me his number that if I ever needed to call him, I could call and just talk to him. Yeah. Hopkins, I met the best nurses and doctors. I would always joke around with them, make my day lighter, hopefully make theirs lighter. I'm sure working on a pediatric oncology floor, it's not always the best day to see young kids with cancer fighting to survive. But the doctors would come in and, you know, do their thing, and I would make a joke and they would make another one. And I think just a lot of that was, like I said, outlooks determine outcomes, and staying positive and trying to have them be positive. But it's hard.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's really cool that you were able to have. I love that you had it in you to just create jokes or find space to just be able to laugh, even though your circumstances were very, very difficult. And I think that's a really strong lesson for anyone in life. I know for me, like, humor is sometimes the only thing that you can hold on to. And I think it's also a great way to involve those around you and to kind of create a space for us all. Like, you know what we're doing right now really sucks. It's not fun for me. It's not fun for you, but I'm going to make it lighter by having a joke or making things a little bit more fun. Was there anything else that you did that, or others did, that maybe brought a smile to your face even when the day was really difficult?
My mom had made Be Strong shirts for a lot of the nurses and doctors that were on that floor. So even just getting up out of bed and going in the hall and taking a walk with my walker at that point and seeing them with the Be Strong shirt on and cheer me on walking throughout the hall, that definitely helped a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Love yeah, it. That's really cool.
I have another phrase that maybe might catch on. You ready?
Yep.
We can all learn from B. Your last name, Learn.
That's a good one.
I get it. Yep.
Because right now I'm learning from B. Hey, Brendan, forgive my, sorry, that was my episode of humor. You were talking about humor, and so I'm trying to be funny. It wasn't very funny. What do you want to be when you grow up? You're only 20. What does the future look like for you? What are you dreaming of? What do you want to become? What do you want to do in life?
That is very hard to answer.
Yeah.
When I was at the University of Lynchburg, I was studying health and PE to be an adaptive PE teacher, so for kids with disabilities.
Wow.
But after everything that happened, it changed my mind, and I had wanted to move to the beach and get a boat and have a fishing charter.
wow.
But as that's kind of gotten closer, boats cost a lot of money, and yes, so, oh my God, do places to live. So I think the plan for now is to become an electrician apprentice and do that for the 4 years it takes and become an electrician.
You're always going to have a job if you do that. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that plan.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Cool. Well, oh, Matt, do you have any other questions?
No, I'm good. Again, Brendan, I've learned a lot just in this half hour that we've spoken, and really appreciate your vision, your experience, your vulnerability. I mean, there's a lot. Again, just a half hour that I've taken from this, and I appreciate you keep being inspiration to those that come in contact with you, because you are. So
yeah.
Well, thank you.
I would just like to say ditto to what Matt said. I mean, I learned from B so much, just like I said, like Matt said, in our short time together. But I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate the stories that you shared. Your positive outlook and your resiliency is very clear when you speak about your experience, and your honesty of how hard it really was is also I'm just really grateful that you were willing to come on and share with us. Before we wrap up, is there any, I know we pounded you with questions, so sorry, but also not sorry, because we learned so much from you. But is there anything that we didn't ask, or anything else that you would like to share with us or for our listeners that you think might be helpful?
I think the hardest thing for me now is when I do go to the gym and work out, I think that is the most psychologically torturing thing that I can do to myself. From before being sick, I could leg press over 1,000 pounds, and now not even being able to do around 300, that is very, very demeaning to me, and it upsets me very much. But I think it's also the most motivating thing that I can do, showing that that is where I want to get back to. But even just bigger picture than that, I think that after you go through something, however hard it is, the best thing you can do is to get back out there. Don't put yourself down with what it was, and live your life how you lived it before, and the results will come.
Wow. Beautiful. Bravo.
So powerful.
Drop the mic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. No, thank you so much for sharing all that. Like I said, we really appreciate it, and it was really fun learning from you. And I think all of our listeners will resonate with a lot of things you said. And for those that are struggling to get back out there with whatever it is, I think that hearing your story and hearing you say that will be very powerful for them in their journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Brendan.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Hope to see you at a spirit game here soon.
I will be there.
Awesome. Can't wait. As always, we're super grateful to our listeners for listening every week. We have one ask for you today, and that would just be to hit that follow button on whatever platform that you're listening to our podcast on. We'd be super grateful for that. So thank you so much. Ditto out.
Peace out, everybody.